Mini-episode 1798 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1798. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here today with two of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, and we have our 2024-25 NFL playoff preview. And this is a panel that we've put together for such occasions previously, as well as I think we've covered all the major sports in North America with these guys as a panel here. And they collectively, in addition to being two of our longest-serving FDH Lounge dignitaries, collectively do the Callous Remarks podcast. You can check that out wherever you get your podcasts, just like wherever you can get them, is with the FDH Lounge. And Steve Callous, the namesake of Callous Remarks here, and someone who has done a lot of big things here as far as being a sports editor of the Westchester County Post, westchestercountypost.com, a regular over the years of the likes of WFAN and SNY. And it is always a pleasure to be able to get him on the show. Steve Callous, counselor, how are you doing today, my friend?
All good, Rick. It's great to be with both of you. Obviously, I love doing the show with Joe, and he's a walking Philadelphia history book, but to do it with you is an added plus.
Well, thank you. I feel much the same, and yes, it is always great to do it with Joe Stazak, a legend of Philly sports, TV and radio. This guy has conquered all the mediums there, and presently can be found in any number of places as a columnist, including, of course, Heavy.com, covering the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm losing track of all of the outlets where I'm seeing his fine work over a period of time here. But Joe Stazak, my friend, a bigger Philly sports legend, frankly, than Rocky. Great to have you in, my man.
Turn over any rock, guys. I'm usually under, some random rock somewhere in Philly, covering something or other. Now, hey, guys, I appreciate it. I love doing this. I was psyched when you asked me the other day. I just did a podcast with Gary Cobb, former Eagle, former Cowboy, former Lion. And to talk to a player who's been there and been in locker rooms, and I just want to go, I'm ready to go out and hit somebody or, like, you know, chase my cats around the house or something. Or I'm just so ready for this weekend, and it's only Tuesday, so
yeah.
I got to kind of temper my excitement. But I love the regular season, but, you know, hey, listen, it's over. Now the second season is one and done from here on out.
It is, and unlike Steve and myself, you still have a team that is in the mix here, him with Big Blue, me with the Miami Dolphins, and the erstwhile favorites, the Cleveland Browns, long out of the mix. And I do mean erstwhile, as long as they've got Watson on the roster. But, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting what you said there, Joe. I had a question I wanted to put to you guys before we got to the playoffs, and I'm going to start with you because you raised the point, and that is about the excitement of the regular season. Because I made this point recently. We were doing a stretch run analysis on the show for the NFL with one of our FDH Lounge dignitaries, Derek Allen, who is somewhere right about 30 or so, one of the younger guys in our crew, if not the youngest. And he was not having my point, because my point was, is this a fairly blah season? Like, the biggest stories to me are the colorful collapses of, like, Dallas and the Browns and both New York teams. I mean, everybody knew the Giants were going to suck, but the media still had it pumped up like they were going to be something. The Jets, all these colorful collapses, like, you know, Kansas City, they were just kind of chugging along, but, like, nobody seemed interested because they seemed like the worst two-loss team in the history of the NFL. So I'm going to start with you, Joe. I mean, like, am I the old curmudgeon here? Because, like, Derek seemed to think that I was, but, like, this season to me, like, even last year, like with Taylor Swift, that gave us something to hate and to focus on. Like, I'm sick of seeing this on my TV every week. You know, I didn't even have that to get fired up about it. They would get off my lawn stuff. I just didn't have anything to react to. And I talked to some of my friends and they agree with me, but I don't know. You guys tell me if I'm right or wrong on that.
Well, let's talk about geography, because you're out a little further west than I am, and like you mentioned earlier, you don't have a team, a skin, and you know what I'm saying. You don't have skin in the playoffs. The team that I cover and, you know, have bled their colors since I was, you know, an embryo. They're always interesting, even when they're terrible. They always make for interesting storylines. When they used to lose, we'd go into the radio station and we'd all like cry for 5 minutes, and I'm like, "Oh, we're gonna have a killer show because everyone's all pissed off tonight." So they have drama. They have the way they do things. It seems a little dysfunctional, but all they do is win. And then Saquon Barkley kind of drops into the laps and surprised everyone when Howie Roseman picked him up. Because I was still kind of the mindset, I maybe bought in a little bit, you know, running backs, high-priced running backs, maybe overrated. And remember, in Philly 4 years ago, when Nick Sirianni went 9-8, they were the top rushing team in the league, and they did it with a platoon system. They've been top five since he's been here. So I was like, is it going to make that much of a difference? Well, it had. It did. And starting from the first game in Green Bay, 3 touchdowns for Saquon, and then the whole thing leading up to 2000. It's been very interesting around here. Now, outside of that, the stories you mentioned, I think the Chiefs are extremely interesting. I just take a different look at it because I am so impressed versus looking at them as the worst 15-2 team. To me, they're still a team to beat. The reason they are not talked about that much is that they haven't been flashy, but all they do is win. And that's all you really have to do. You know, at the end of 60 minutes, did you win or did you lose? It's all that matters. It really is all that matters. You might not look, might not get style points for it. They don't have, a Justin Jefferson. But they do have, you know, Dracula. And you can't kill him until he's killed. They have made six if they stop short of the AFC title game this year, it'll be the first time in 7 years. I mean, it is really this, you know, the Kansas City Invitational, the AFC title game. I think they're interesting because of how they win and the pieces they add, you know, adding McCole Hardman after that, under the Jets midway through the year, he scores a game winning touchdown, and they're down 10 points again to a team in a Super Bowl, third time they've come back to win that, and they just keep winning. And really, one loss this year. You know, Carson Wentz doesn't even throw for 100 yards against the Broncos. And Andy has always sat the guys. And the Aaron Rodgers thing, that was a surprise to me. I thought, you know, I didn't buy into the Jets as much as other people did. Steve Callis didn't. Remember game one, Steve? About a month before that game, Steve's like, why the hell are the Jets favored in this game? And they got killed the first night in San Fran. I mean, that's interesting to me. Not that I enjoy seeing teams flop or legends flop. It just made it interesting. Sam Darnold, I've been hammering him for 4 years. And he comes out and has an MVP-type season. And I know people, you know, they get in the moment, recency bias, and he had a terrible game the other night. I think he'll bounce back. I'm not saying they're going to win. But I think it's been interesting on different levels for different reasons. It's been very interesting around here. So I'm probably speaking from a different vantage point, you know, geographically than you might be, Rick.
Okay. Well, and that's interesting here. So it's not just me being a curmudgeon because somebody closer in age to me is disagreeing with me. So, all right. So this isn't a generational thing then. So, Steve Callis, you be the tiebreaker, as it were, here. I mean, for me to kind of fart on what we just saw the last couple of months and say, I didn't really see the level of excitement for this NFL season overall that I did for the last couple of seasons. I don't know. Do you agree or disagree with me, Steve?
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think having no football season in New York again this year was, you know, kind of what made to watch my YouTube DirecTV ticket, whatever, NFL ticket, and I won so many more games because you didn't even, for once, you know, in the old days, the Jets and Giants were on TV, and, you know, maybe there was something there. Now you almost have to have, if you live in New York, you've got to have the NFL ticket because you're not watching, you're missing all the good games. But as to what you said, I kind of agree. But I'll say this, the biggest thing that stuck out to me this year versus the past years, and we started talking, I started talking about with Joe in like week three, this to me was the year of the return of the valuable running back and the value of having a running game that was almost overemphasized this year. When you look at guys like Saquon, of course, never forget the Hard Knocks, where three times the owner of the Giants, Mara, went down and said, yeah, I don't want to lose Saquon. I mean, Saquon's really, he's a great guy. He's our best player. I don't want to lose him. And then the final episode, he said, yeah, and most of all, I don't want to go to the Eagles. So I was shocked when they kept Schoen. You know, they announced they're keeping Dable as the coach and Schoen as the GM. I was shocked because this was on public. You know, they go pretty deep in Hard Knocks. I never really watched it before, but whatever. But my point is Saquon goes to the Eagles. Henry goes to the Ravens. You got Josh Jacobs as well. You got guys who are running backs this year that showed, yes, we can win by running the ball. To me, there was more, and I don't know the stats on this, Rick, maybe you do. There was more running this year. All these quarterbacks, you know, you saw quarterbacks routinely throwing for 160 yards, 180 yards, 200 yards, 210 yards. It used to be if you were under 250, you were a bum.
Right.
I don't think anybody threw for 5,000 this year. Not that that's easy. I mean, but you know, you had a lot of guys in the mid to late threes, and that just wasn't the way it used to be. So I thought there was a definite change in the way football was played this year vis-a-vis the last, I'll say, 10 years. Once upon a time, you know, the Green Bay Packers with Vince Lombardi, a seal here, a seal there. It was run, run, pass. But now, the running game, to me, took over for a lot of teams. Now, did that open things up for the passers? Absolutely. I mean, what were we saying early on, Joe, in the year about the Bengals? Where's Joe Mixon?
Yeah.
Where was Joe Mixon?
Exactly.
He's on a playoff team.
Yeah.
That's where Joe Mixon is. So you never convinced me because you can say, I would never vote for, you know, I would never vote for Burrow for MVP. I would vote him for the, if they have, Rick, we didn't know. Do you know, Rick, is there an award for the offensive player of the year separate and apart from the MVP?
I believe so.
There is. It's Joe Burrow. That's hands down Joe Burrow.
Yes.
And so, and keep in mind, Cincinnati lost their running game. They got it back later in the year, and then suddenly they're winning, you know, their last five or whatever, but it looked to me, adding the right, now look, Saquon wouldn't have done with the Giants what he did with the Eagles, but they would have won a lot more, they would have won a few more games with Saquon. But you had a guy like Joe Mixon disappearing, what happens to the Bengals in their running game and their one loss. You have Henry showing up in for the Ravens, and nobody wants to play them. Yes, they had five losses, but even Joe and I talked about it early on. It took them a few games to get Henry in the mix. Once he's in the mix, him and Lamar, probably the greatest 1-2 punch in the history of running. So I thought the biggest story this year, yes, a lot of teams collapsed that were good. Yes, it wasn't quite as exciting. I don't know if that's a 17-game thing, Rick, or not. But, yes, I agree with all that. But I think the biggest story this year, at least for me, was the return of the running back. And, yes, some are better than others. And my final thing on that is they're not fungible. Everyone said, you know, the Giants got Singletary from Buffalo, who's a nice running back, don't get me wrong. They got him from Buffalo when he played with the Giants offensive line for $4 million. Oh, they got him cheap. And what happened? You get what you pay for.
Well, exactly. And that's one of those things where I only wish I could remember which national pundit this was that embarrassed himself so badly. But like a week or two into the season when the passing games were way down, oh, what the NFL needs to do is outlaw some of these deep coverage defenses. Not knowing, not realizing that it's all self-correcting. There will always be adjustments made, and it is the adaptation to stopping the passing game like the way that Kansas City has done in recent years and other offenses have done. That's what's opened it up for the run. And very fitting that it kind of comes this year at about the 20-year point, because I remember being on the Sports Talk Network and saying around 2005 or so that we have now seen this kind of evolution to where, you know, you're looking at two backs per team, you know, in there as opposed to just the traditional kind of bell cow. So there have been some false alarms over the years, like when Ezekiel Elliott was drafted high, where I thought we were seeing the return of the bell cow, but maybe we really are. now that the pendulum has started to swing the other way. What I want to do is take just kind of an overall kind of view of each of the conferences. We're going to be doing a separate thing later in this week, separate taping later in the week for just the first round of the AFC and NFC playoffs, the wild card round. I refuse to call it super wild card. I'm not buying into their stupid advertising crap. It's the wild card round. I'm going to be the curmudgeon. I'm going to unsubscribe to all of their stupid buzzwords and everything like that as much as humanly possible. I really am making myself sound like a curmudgeon, but I guess I can't help it.
I mean, that's I love it.
That's who I am. If I sound like Archie Bunker, so be it. But
favorite character. What are you talking about? That's a good thing.
Thank you. Yeah, well,
I'm a huge Archie fan. Yeah. Archie fan.
Well, we should both say minus a lot of the slurs and stuff, right? We're not talking about of that stuff.
That was the best part of it. Oh my God! Did he say that?
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable. Like, hilarious. I grew up watching that. It's hilarious.
If somebody was to tell me that the producer Guy Lear was a closet racist, I would actually believe it, because instead of being this big liberal, if he was just a racist that got off on hearing slurs on TV, that would be the funniest thing of all. Pose as a liberal so you can have your character say slurs.
If I could just say one thing about All in the Family and Archie Bunker, arguably the most important television show ever, but the reason I loved it is because Sammy Davis Jr. kissed him.
Yes.
He did on the lips.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was.
Meathead. And the Meathead's still having a career producing movies, and he's doing great.
Yeah. That's true.
Love the Meathead.
That's true. Let's take a look on the AFC side first here, and what's interesting is I think particularly as you go further and deeper on the NFC side, you're going to get to some real epics later in the playoffs. The first weekend in either conference, I'm really not too sure on what we're seeing on that. This is normally the Chargers and Houston. You normally more see this in the AFC, or in the NFC rather, of where the 5 seed is favored over the 4 because the division they won was so pathetic. But with Houston having taken a step back this year, my best friend asked me today what I thought about Denver and Buffalo, and if I thought that Denver could give Buffalo a real run for their money, and I was really kind of dubious on that. So, I mean, I'm looking at an AFC where you could be looking at Chiefs Chargers the second weekend. Everybody seems to be looking at Buffalo and Baltimore, and generally that comes down to, which of these teams is choking a little less in the AFC playoffs, right? Because neither one of them ever goes as far as they're supposed to. So I would lean towards Buffalo, just because Buffalo, generally speaking, has made it a little further than Baltimore has under these circumstances. By the way, just to let everybody know, go find us on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. Our end of regular season breakdown, right there on the main page, click on it. We've got a statistical index here. It starts with the FDH power rankings in the first category, but adds in a whole bunch of others. And thanks, of course, to Pro Football Reference for a lot of their great statistics, their power ranking statistics, offensive and defensive yards per play, et cetera, et cetera. So actually, if you look at that index, Denver really could give Buffalo a good run for their money, but that's one of those things where does it become lies, damned lies in statistics to think that they could, and especially like Buffalo, like with not having a number one receiver, but a bunch of guys you can throw to, is that the same thing as, oh, we're going to do bullpen by committee, it works out fine? So that's one of the things that would make me a little bit dubious of Buffalo going too far into this, but I do have them making it to play Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, notwithstanding everything I said there. Although if you said to me it was going to be Baltimore, I guess I wouldn't necessarily be shocked. But I'll start with you, Joe. Your overall sense of how you think the AFC bracket might line up?
Just as you said. And it could change, but I wouldn't. If you're asking me, like, what do I think? Well, until I see Lamar, this is why I don't like regular season awards.
Right.
Okay, that's great, Lamar. Yeah, you threw for 19,000 yards. How'd you do in the postseason? Well, your completion percentage is like 53. You're like 2-5. You know what I mean? Like until I see that, until I see him win some big games in the postseason, And he might, because he does have Derrick Henry. Okay, so there is a difference. There's the X factor of Derrick Henry, who never seems to get old. And he actually, you know, with Saquon sitting the last game, made a run, Saquon's 2,000 yard mark this year, but fell short. But he's amazing. And that's a top two or three offense, both through the air and on the ground. Their defense was so bad earlier in the year, I was like, I'm not even... Don't even talk to me about Baltimore. Then, okay, John Harbaugh did a nice job bringing them around again. I think they're 10th in the league now, and their secondary was awful. They're okay. But until I see it, I'm sorry, because I still like what I've seen out of Buffalo, especially since they got rid of Stephon Diggs, you know, one of their stars, and they got better. And they gave up their offensive line only 14 sacks this year, which is 8 ahead of the second team. They protect well. They have pretty – listen, Steve knows how much I like Dalvin Cook, but his brother's better than him, having a better NFL career than Dalvin ever had. He's always injured. They have a running game. Their defense has been good. I know they're going to have to go through Arrowhead if the Chiefs, you know, hold serve. Other than that, you know, I don't see if Cincinnati had made it, I'd have been like, because, you know, you get a track meet with Joe Burrow with the year he's having, and he's aggravated at the management and ownership for letting guys. You can tell when he's opened his mouth, he's not happy with how they're doing things there. So he's just tearing it up, and it's unfortunate because a bunch of things happen in the final weekend, but then you have, you know, Kansas City laying down like dogs and the Broncos going in and beating him. And by the way, I shouldn't say everyone, but I hear a lot of guys out there and pundits and, you know, the Broncos, that's a bad draw for Buffalo. The Broncos are going to get blown out of Orchard Park this weekend. That's my prediction. I think they're getting blown out. You think Vegas doesn't know what's going on? They're a 9-10-point favorite. People are like, oh, my God, I can't believe the Broncos. They're going to need 10 points by the end of the first quarter. I don't think that game's close. They have a rookie quarterback who I like. Bo Nix, he was great at Oregon, and he was great at Auburn. You know, 70% completion percentage. He's got a good coach and changed Sean Payton. Turned that program around. Their defense makes a lot of plays, and they cause a lot of turnovers. They are not ready, in my opinion, for prime time. It's going to be, in my opinion, Buffalo and the Chiefs again. And until someone, you know, until the coroner comes and puts the sheet over Patrick Mahomes and announces the time of death, I'm still wary of the Chiefs.
Well, I can understand that, and I will say this. On the sideline, when you see Sean Payton fiddling around with one of the Microsoft Surface tablets on Sunday, you know what that's going to be? He's going on change.org to set up a petition to get the actual literal points. I want the 10 points applied to our score. Guess what? I don't know if it's going to do him any good anyways. That's just my thought.
I don't think it is.
Well, yeah. And by the way, too, you talk about Kansas City laying down like dogs. If you don't think Kansas City had a real knowledge in that game. Who's the only team to take us out of the Super Bowl in recent years?
Cincinnati. That we don't want to see ever again.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like,
Burrow's got a winning record against Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, they have a garbage defense.
And he won at Arrowhead.
Yes.
In a game to go to the Super Bowl. Came down from 18 down in the first half and won that game and went to the Super Bowl.
The only team.
I don't blame them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, their defense sucks right now, but they're the only team in the AFC the last couple of years that hasn't peed down their legs at the thoughts of playing Kansas City in the playoffs here. As a matter of fact, that they got a little too cocky the second year when they had city council.
On a Burrowhead, yeah.
Yes, Burrowhead.
I would have been like, dude, really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're ready for that, but it was funny. I thought it was funny.
It was.
And he got smoked.
It was, yeah. that turned out to be a mistake. But
a little much, yeah, right?
Yes. So, Steve, I'll be interested to hear if you sort of agree with the conventional wisdom of Joe and I about how the AFC is going to shake out, or if you see any of these things going a little bit differently.
No, I see in the AFC anyway, very similar, but there's an obvious reason that we've talked about for years. I mean, Mahomes gets the ball, it's late in the game, you're losing if you're playing against Mahomes.
You're done.
And that hasn't changed. I mean, he's become one of the greatest quarterbacks ever already, and I know he's got plenty of years ahead of him. But a couple of interesting things for me. The Ravens, I understand the whole Lamar thing. He's been terrible. I don't know if he snapped something because Joe and I have talked all year how the Pittsburgh Steelers make every game a scrum, and now they just are on a four-game losing streak where you have Wilson, who you thought the change was kind of good, but he's now averaged 174 yards in the year per game. This is one of the things I'm talking about, yep. Not because of their running game. Now, when they lost Pickens, I thought he missed two games. Then he came back, he'd be good. He came back, he hasn't been good in games 3 and 4 that they lost. So I don't know that this is necessarily a game, except this particular game. The Steelers have always played the Ravens tough. Everybody forgot the Steelers beat them this year in the first game. I understand the Ravens destroyed the Steelers in the second game, but I'll say this. I think if Zay Flowers doesn't play for the Ravens, and mm-hmm. right now there's a big question in practice today,
right?
And apparently hurt his knee fairly badly. If he doesn't play, I'm not saying it's a game, but if the Ravens are 9.5, 10-point favorites or whatever that is, I think everybody's overlooked what the Steelers have done against Lamar. I think he was 1-4 against them or something before this last game, or maybe even 0-4. But I think that might be more of a game if he doesn't play. But the Steelers have really gone the wrong way. I thought Wilson was the answer. You recall he came in, he's throwing all those, whatever they call them, moon balls. Pickens could make that 50-50 catch, a 75-25 catch. But he hasn't come back to his own. I think he's hurt their offense more by first not being there for two games and then not being himself for two games than anybody else. But I think if Zay Flowers can play, that's a blowout. I mean, they got Bateman. Andrews has come on like a really good tight end, we know. And I'll say it again. I think they have the greatest 1-2 running positions in the history of football. I don't think you can name... They used to say Paul Forning and Jim Taylor with, Green Bay, who won the first two Super Bowls, and all they did was run. But I don't think there's anybody better in the history of football than those two guys. Having said that, though, I'm kind of like you. I don't trust the Ravens and Lamar in the playoffs. He's going to have to show me. And this could be the year to show me. I thought they could beat the Chiefs last year. Of course, they couldn't. And anybody in the AFC who shows up, and I think you guys are, maybe it was Joe who said it, they're lucky the Bengals aren't in if there was some kind of...
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. But I will say, I don't know if this will make me look good or bad, but before the season, I picked the Final Four with Joe on the air, the Chiefs and the Texans, and boy, did the Texans disappoint me. I think they're one and done against the Chargers this year. But frankly, I finally read an article where they said C.J. Stroud had a sophomore jinx. They don't usually talk about sophomore jinxes in football, I don't think. But he certainly had one. And I also had in the NFC the Lions and the 49ers, which I thought was pretty much a lock. So I'm 1-2, and if we're going to go all the way, I got KC over the Bills. And I got the Lions over the Eagles. I know we'll do the NFC next.
Yeah.
And I got KC over the Lions, which I think is the opposite of you, Rick. But I agree with Joe. You got to, stick a knife in this guy, turn it a few times, and make sure you see him when he's buried in the ground.
No, I agree with
and
all
even
that.
Even then, I'm like, yeah, I'm not that confident, even if I do see him buried.
But. Well, yeah, no, I agree with that, and I think, again, I'll believe it when I see it. That's why I'm saying Kansas City over Buffalo,
right.
Because, again, I think everybody here has something to prove in that regard. Even if this is the best version of Josh Allen that we've seen yet, and it may well be, we got to see if that's enough when push comes to shove. NFC, I think in looking at this, I would say if Green Bay was healthy, I would say that Philadelphia got a tough draw here because I like Green Bay more than, pretty much any of the other road teams would be possible, and I do mean possible exception of Minnesota. But Green Bay is between Jordan Love being out, potentially, he may play, but he's not going to have Watson regardless. And it just kind of goes on and on. They don't have Jair Alexander at this point, so I think Philly... avoids what would be an otherwise tough draw in that situation. Vikings and Rams, speaking of change.org, I'd like to get a petition to move this to the LA Coliseum, just for old time's sake, just so it can be like, just, you know, there I go being Archie Bunker again, right? Those were the days, but, you know, all those Vikings-Rams games at Metropolitan Stadium and the LA Coliseum, and now we get it in the you know, the antiseptic SoFi Stadium. But should be a very good game regardless. But I'm looking at Philly-Tampa Bay on the second weekend, which should be very good. A chance for Philly to exercise some demons from about 20 years or so ago, right? So you got that. And then Detroit-Minnesota in what I would say would be an epic, but I'm not so sure after what we saw Monday night. I don't know if there's any counter adjustments that Minnesota could make to kind of get themselves back in the game, particularly with the likelihood of David Montgomery making it back in the playoffs here. By the way, on the earlier point about best 1-2 running punch, Jim Brown and Leroy Kelly say hi. So you would expect me as a North Coaster to point that out.
Nice.
You know, yeah, thanks, guys.
So, I appreciate any Jim Brown reference, and Leroy Kelly was fantastic. But what these two guys are doing right now, I still think is unmatched in the history of football.
Wow.
And you can go back and compare stats. Now, those are only 14-game seasons.
Sure.
Mostly for Jim Brown, even a few 12s.
Yeah.
You can go back and compare stuff in the league where the running was king,
yeah,
which is when those guys played. This league today is not where running is king, but running made an incredible comeback this year, and Henry and Lamar were a big part of it. But I'll say it again. There are a bunch of other guys, Saquon, Josh Jacobs, no Joe Mixon.
Right.
And now Joe Mixon's team is going to the playoffs.
Right.
So it's a fascinating, you know, unanswerable debate, of course. I'm not going to say to you that Henry is better than Jim Brown, because until Tom Brady came along, I thought Jim Brown was the greatest football player who ever lived, not
sure,
the greatest running back who ever lived.
Sure.
So you make a good point. But if I had to, if there was a way to compare them, I'd stick with Lamar as a runner, and Henry is one of the most. Yeah, Henry to me, I've said to my son, Henry to me reminds me of Jim Brown, but bigger and stronger, as you have to be 60 years after Jim Brown.
Sure.
So I find it a fascinating degree, but you know, when you see him in the open field, you go, oh my goodness, Jim Brown used to run over guys left and right, as does Henry.
Yep.
But Jim Brown could make him miss, as does Henry.
That's right. That's right. So, Joe, tell me what you think about the NFC here, and I've got your Eagles making it to Ford Field for the NFC Championship game. You've been, of course, as we've been saying all along here, following the Eagles closer than anybody in the FDH lounge. So what's your sense of the NFC bracket?
It's funny, Rick. You brought up a possible matchup next week. I haven't brought it up yet. I don't like to get ahead and look ahead, although people have been asking me about, can they beat Detroit? Well, I'm like, well, they got to beat Green Bay first. And then I don't even know anyone has actually figured it out yet, because I haven't heard much about it. But Tampa Bay has the Eagles deed in their locker. I mean, Tampa Bay owns the Eagles in 20 years. I'll go back to 79 when, Roger Worski, you know, they had a really good team there, and the Bucs beat them in the NFC title game. Then they go to L.A., and the Rams beat them 9-0. It was the worst game I've ever seen, 9-0. Tampa Bay brought up no points, and then the Rams go and lose to the Steelers 31-19. But then the last game with the vet, you know, I could still see Joe Juravicius running down the sideline from Brad Johnson like a little hot read pass. And then, of course, I went to a game with my dad last year, the regular season where the Eagles actually won in Tampa. Other than that, first year with Nick Sirianni, they get to the playoffs, Brady smokes them, and then we saw what happened last year after the collapse. It was the final nail in the coffin when they went back to Tampa and got smoked. And then the worst game, I'm not sure I've seen a team play worse than the Eagles did in week four against the Buccaneers this year. It was 24-0 before the Eagles ran the 10th play. So I didn't bring any of that up because this town's going to freak out when they think about 2003, and to steal a line from Sam Darnold, they're going to be seeing ghosts again for that whole week leading up to it. I'm cringing. But I have no – I think Baker Mayfield did a great job this year, did a great job of 40 touchdown passes, really came into his own, killed the Eagles when they were down there in week four.
they don't scare me. I mean, they lost Chris Godwin. They're a little banged up. They're Tampa. They're okay. I mean, they had to basically come from behind to beat the Saints to get in. And, you know, they're throwing a pass to a wide receiver, you know, to put $3 million in his pocket when they're only up 8 points. I mean, it's just fine. That's fine. I like the Eagles to get to Ford Field as well. Their defense outranks Detroit. But I got to tell you, every time I watch Detroit, they find a way to usurp the odds. You know, oh, they lost like 19 guys on Thanksgiving weekend. You know, they're barely putting together a team. And they smoked Minnesota. Yes, there were opportunities for Minnesota, but they couldn't do anything in the red zone. And I'll credit Detroit. I mean, none of those passes were even, except the one that Darnold threw into the stands when Jefferson was wide open. I thought Detroit has answered every bell. They played guys when they didn't need to. Did Dan Campbell in San Francisco. Not a big proponent of that, but they seemed to fire them up. Didn't seem to, you know, they didn't seem to lose a step when they played Minnesota the other night. I know David Montgomery's maybe out for the year, but Jamar Gibbs, I mean, he's just really coming of age. 4 touchdowns in a huge game. I'm a little with Steve on this. Dan Campbell, not sure you can always trust some of his decision-making skills. We've seen it before, and it's really come back to bite him. I don't know. We'll see. His team might. Sometimes you're good enough to overcome yourself, and sometimes you're not. I usually in the playoffs will go with the quarterback first and then the defense. And I don't see the Eagles. I know it's in Detroit, and that place is going to be rocking. But I don't see the Eagles being too concerned about being on the road for that game. I think they can win the game. I still think it's Detroit's year. Sometimes I don't get too inside the numbers. I just kind of look at the overall, like, what do my eyes tell me? My eyes tell me that it's Detroit's year. They blew a 17-point lead last year to San Francisco, and they deserved a better fate. I think Dan Campbell screwed up in that game, too. I think they're very focused, and Jared Goff's been tremendous since he got traded. I thought it was one of those trades where, like, oh, you know, Matt Stafford goes to Hollywood and Jared Goff never to be heard from again, like football Siberia. But he's done a really, really good job.
Yep.
Maybe a bit earlier in the year, maybe in the MVP conversation. I know his numbers aren't that gaudy,
right?
But he just does things to win games. And they needed to come up big defensively the other night. And I know Brian Flores probably to compensate for the lack of talent outside of maybe Kirby Joseph, their safety, basically blitzed like 60% of the time and made life miserable for Darnold. Yeah, but that's okay. That's what you have to do to win games. I think the Eagles can win that game. I'd probably say circle back to me in a few weeks, and I want to see how both teams play leading up to it. But those two teams, if, you know, they kind of hold serve, anything can happen in the postseason. The Commanders could knock off the Bucs. In fact, I picked that. That's one of my upsets this weekend because I like the quarterback. I like Jaden Daniels. I've been on him since week 3 in Cincinnati, where he went 21-23, two touchdowns, 141 quarterback rating. And he outdueled Joe Burrow, two
right.
Heisman winners from the same college. And, you know, I love Daniels. I think he's the best quarterback right now in the NFC East. But I don't think as a team that they're there yet.
No.
I don't think the other teams are there yet either.
No. Nope.
The Rams, I think, can win this weekend. If they you know, make sure Stafford finds Nacua, who I love, on the hot reads. I think they can beat Minnesota that way. I don't think – I've seen Minnesota in big games this year. They lost to three. Their three losses came to all playoff teams. I know they got, you know, dealt a little bit of a dirty deal winning 14 games and playing on the road, but they don't. I don't see them as a team that can usurp Detroit,
right.
even if they play a third time. It's going to be the Eagles and Detroit, I believe, at Ford Field, and you know, get back to me at that point. But I still think my eyes tell me it's Detroit's year to go to the Super Bowl.
I totally agree with that. And then Joe, you and I can wrap up in a few minutes here. I know Steve's got a heart out in about 6 minutes here.
Sure.
Two quick things before that. Before I get Steve's NFC thoughts, one is Speaking of, this is a recurring pattern today with change.org. We might need a change.org petition to get a welfare check on Will Brinson of CBS Sports, who predicted the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. So we might need somebody to check up on that guy and make sure he's doing okay. Second of all, I hope I'm not narking on anybody that's going to get a copyright strike by Roger Goodell. But there is a thing on YouTube. I've watched the beginning part of it, the Eagles-Bears playoff game from that year. And I think it's Vin Scully that says, it's been like 20 years since the Eagles have been in the playoffs. I'm like, really? Like, they went 20? Like, I didn't realize it was that long. And then I started thinking back, like, yeah, I don't remember them ever being in the playoffs. Not that I was alive for a good chunk of that, but reading about it subsequently. but anyways.
You had some hard times, right?
Yeah, yeah. Didn't know it was that long. But so, Steve, we already know your Super Bowl pick of Lions over Kansas City. I'm sorry, Kansas City over the Lions. But any other thoughts that you have on the NFC bracket that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, I'll give you the NFC quickly. I do want to do 1 minute on the Chiefs and why I think, not just Mahomes. But, of course, anybody, we're taping this Tuesday night, anybody who knows anything, anybody who knows anything has to know that, you know, we don't even know if Hurts is going to play.
He'll be all right. Well, from what I'm hearing, Hurts is progressing nicely, and they don't really have to announce anything until day one of practice, which is tomorrow, and I believe he'll be out of they will have him listed as out of concussion protocol tomorrow for day one of practice.
I apologize, fellas, but let me just be quick, because I think there can be some upsets here. I looked at Rick's numbers, and I understand them, but with, for example, a team like the Chiefs, to me, they were irrelevant last year. They're not really relevant this year. But, for example, the Commanders, Tampa Bay, up and down when they're up, I think they'll beat the Commanders. I just don't know if they will be. I understand this is a rookie quarterback who's not really a rookie quarterback. And Tampa Bay, as you guys know, blitzes more than anybody. Daniels against the blitz this year had a QBR of 90. This is the low QBR that ESPN uses. Against the blitz, he had a QBR of 90 out of 100, second in the NFL. His passing and rushing results with his legs, 1,335 yards against the blitz. And I saw a video of the first game where he rushed for 88 yards. His very first game, they lost to Tampa Bay. But I think they can beat him. And finally, on that same stat, against the blitz, he's thrown 12 TD passes and one pick. I mean, these are incredible numbers.
Yeah, it is incredible.
And overall QBR for the year, 71 QBR, is fourth in the NFL. Again, under that lower, none of this 158 perfect score. So I kind of like the Commanders. I also give the Rams a big shot for a couple of reasons. Joe and I were waiting all year for Sam Darnold to play like the old Sam Darnold. And that's what happened to him. And by the way, I assume you guys both know that the Rams already beat the Vikings this year, 30-20. Yes. And if they have both of those guys, Nacua and Kupp, I mean, the reason the Rams don't have three more wins is because these guys missed a lot of time. So I do think they can beat the Vikings. And finally, with the Eagles, again, Hurts plays. I think they go all the way to the championship game, the conference championship, where they lose to the Lions. The one thing I wanted to say about the Chiefs is because of all of these teams, the Lions, their defense is suspect. Is it getting better? Absolutely. And they showed that, obviously, against the Vikings. But the Chiefs are the one team, to me, that has gotten better, especially now in offense. You know, Hollywood Brown finally plays. Hollywood Brown is great. Now, he's only got two games under his belt. I know the first game he had five catches for 50 yards. But with Hollywood Brown, and they picked up Hopkins, who is a very good receiver, not a speed burner, but very good. To me, that's going to open things up for Kelsey, who wasn't really Kelsey this year. Is he getting old? Or could you really focus on Kelsey because they didn't have a whole lot otherwise? But with Hollywood Brown and Hopkins, they've got two, I would say number two, maybe number three receivers that they didn't have before. So the teams that got better towards the end of the year, you can argue the Ravens, but the Ravens' problem to me is the playoffs. Lamar in the playoffs, we'll see if they can beat that. But the Chiefs are the one team whose defense has been getting better, and it's almost like a Spagnuolo warm-up because, you know, he's as almost important as Andy Reid, but their offense did get better. And Pacheco is supposed to be back at full strength. And if he is, that gives them just another plus. And, of course, at the end of the day, as Joe and I always say, it's all about Mahomes.
So I just wanted to say that about the Chiefs, fellas. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you. The great Steve Callis, everybody. Thank you. From Callis Remarks. And Joe, you and I can wrap this up here. You and I both, I believe, have the Lions and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm saying Lions to get it done, deprive the Chiefs of the three-peat there. Traditionally in NFL history, we've seen a team come up short, more so in the conference championship game. In the 76 season, it was the Steelers coming up short to the Raiders, albeit the Steelers were so cursed with injuries, including a quarterback. That might have been a foregone conclusion. The Raiders were going to break through. Much more shocking and something I actually remember 1990 with the Giants getting past the 49ers. So typically, yeah. now we've yet to see a team make it to the Super Bowl going for the three-peat. Both of us are picking it to happen. I'm saying Lions. What say you?
I just can't bet against him anymore. I've done it a couple times over the last couple of years, and I've gotten burned like every time. And I just, at some point, I'm just going to have to smarten up and I'll roll the dice with Patrick Mahomes because eyeball wise, I think it's Detroit's year. And I think the thing is, and I know that they've won close games, you almost think, well, if there was five quarters in these games, some of these games would have gone the other way, but there's only four quarters and they seem to do enough to get it done. I think that they could, the competition, you know, is much more elevated and the urgency. And I think Buffalo, they might not get past Buffalo. I do like Buffalo's chances against the Chiefs, but I have to go with Mahomes as long as he's, you know, upright. Steve, I don't know if you mentioned this or if I might have spaced for a second. The only team that can win the Super Bowl, pick 32nd and get one of the best players in the draft in Xavier Worthy, who runs like a 3.5 in the sand, 40, so fast. And they don't have spectacular, but they have pretty good. And then you throw Mahomes in the mix and he just takes a team from here and just puts them up to the top in terms of, you know, being the favorite, you know, and you know, you have him down by 10 points, you can have him down by 24 points like the Texans did and during his first Super Bowl run, and it didn't matter. You know, Chiefs still won that game by like 18 or 19, and they've won all three Super Bowls coming from 10 down. It's like you have to pound the stake so hard through his heart, and then you have to, you know, decapitate him and drive his head to, you know, a couple states away. I don't know what you have to do, but until he is dead and buried, I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm still going to go with the Chiefs. But I would not be surprised at all if Buffalo beats him, if Detroit beats him in the Super Bowl, if the Eagles beat him in the Super Bowl. Because it really, you know, it's a team sport. I get it. And other teams haven't done enough to be in this position to close them out. It's, you know, the Broncos were, and they had a field goal attempt blocked, and you know, that was the Chiefs though. They blocked that kick. They designed a play and they practiced it and blah, blah, blah. You know, they got a great coach, they got a great defensive coordinator, and they got a tremendous quarterback. So, but I wouldn't be shocked. But if you ask me to bet, I'm just going to go with the Chiefs because Mahomes, number 15.
Well, and I will say, too, one of the things that the Chiefs have in common with that we talked about the one year when they didn't make the Super Bowl, which was the 21 season when the Rams won it all. The Rams won it all and had the best defensive tackle in football at that time, Aaron Donald, and the heir to that throne with his retirement is Chris Jones. So that's kind of a commonality there, is to win it not just with a franchise quarterback, the franchise quarterback, especially when it comes to winning in this day and age. Don't know if he doesn't really stand head and tails statistically over the other top quarterbacks, but in terms of being a winner, in terms of the Brady/Montana thing, he's that guy of right now.
Chris Jones, you're right. Statistically not overwhelming. To me, he's worth every penny of that contract. Let me just give you two moments real quick. Against Buffalo last year in the playoffs, Allen had a guy wide open, and it would have been to take the lead late in the game. Chris Jones buried, I forget the guard's name for Buffalo, he buried it, threw him, he moved him back 3 yards, so the guard stepped on Allen's left foot so he couldn't plant, and the ball fell short. Plays like that. And then it turned into fourth down. I think they had to kick, or maybe they didn't get it. But that was a turning point. And against the 49ers, when down late in overtime, it was in overtime. I think it was on third down where they ended up kicking, but he blew through everybody and, you know, was right in Purdy's face, forced him to throw too quickly, incomplete or overthrew. I forget what he did, but he makes plays when he needs to at specific times. They all seem to make, you know, you look back at the championship run and, oh, that play, if he didn't make that play, if he didn't have, these guys all have been in unison and worked in concert to, you know, Harrison Butker, I know he's been banged up this year, but he's been money for that team. And just the little wrinkles they throw in, those little, you know, step back hook routes where the guy goes in motion and then like Kadarius Toney against the Eagles, they did it twice to them in the fourth quarter. He goes in motion and he cuts it back real quick. That's how they won the Super Bowl with Mecole Hardman. I don't know how Kyle Shanahan's team. Look, the Eagles laid the blueprint for what not to do and what the Chiefs are going to do. They're always going to, you know, give you a little wrinkle, and that was on tape, you know, from the previous Super Bowl. But they just find ways to win. You mentioned Pacheco's back. Seventh round pick out of Rutgers. He runs like his hair's on fire.
Yep.
And if he's healthy, and they're healthy, their defense is pulled back a little bit, but. Because to me, their defense was the reason they were winning those games earlier in the year. I think their defense will tighten up. And they make plays, and everyone seems the most drops in the league until the postseason. You know, remember, the Chiefs, aside from losing to the Broncos the other day, have lost one game since last Christmas. Not this one. Last Christmas.
Yep.
When they lost to the Raiders. Of course, they turned the ball over like four or five times. All right, I'm sorry. I'm babbling. I told you I wouldn't ramble.
No.
But yeah, that's what I The Chiefs are just like this model of excellence when they need to be. And you know what? It's just frustrating for everybody else.
Yeah, no, you broke it down like very few could right there, Joe. Those are very, very salient points. And, you know, very good use of the film study here when you're talking about Chris Jones and the subtle impact that he's able to have with that defense there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I was rooting for Buffalo. But,
yeah.
Yeah, you see, you know, he held out. Remember, he missed the first game, and I think they lost to the Lions last year in the opening night, and he didn't play. And next thing you know, all right, I'm going to play. We lost at home. Give the man his money. What are you guys doing?
Well,
he's Chris Jones.
It's funny because if it ends up being the Lions in the Super Bowl, you go back to the beginning of last year when they put the Lions on the Thursday night game, and I remember looking at this like, Roger Goodell is doing a J.R. Smith heat check here of like, let's just see if we can throw the Lions in and still pull a monster number. Because, I mean, they had been, you know, on, you know, the Hard Knocks, right? So that, and Dan Campbell got to be a cult favorite, but, I mean, they were not the choice that you would make. All things being equal, to pull a number. But guess what?
Right.
The heat check worked. The test worked. They still drew a strong number in that spot. So, you know, to a certain extent, I think game
unbelievable.
One. Yeah, game one is bulletproof, particularly if Kansas City is in it. Will they be in it next
Absolutely.
Year or not? Again, my sense is Detroit can take them out here. I have always been a Jared Goff truther, so none of this surprises me about what he was doing. Look, I've always been a Sam Darnold truther. The only thing was, I thought, is it possible that the Jets and the Panthers ruined him? And I thought that he probably had been ruined coming into this year. But Kevin O'Connell with the rescue job.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Just don't. And I know you. I know you're not. This isn't for you. But Everybody else that. Thinks that I try to explain this a lot. Listen, like everyone's coming to me after the Eagles lost to the Commanders when they really needed to win to try to keep in, you know, in line with the ones. I'm like, they had a bad Sunday, guys. Their defense didn't turn into the 31st defense in the league. They had a bad Sunday. And if Devontae Smith catches that easy pitch and catch across the middle, we're not talking about it. You know, it's one Sunday. Look, the other guys get paid too. They made him very uncomfortable by their scheme, and they got home. You know, they Minnesota had no answer to the blitz, and the Lions just, you know, blitzed the heck out of Sam Darnold. And yeah, at times I think he still could have made some throws, probably rushed some. So everyone now I'm hearing today, oh my God, and now, because I've always been like, listen, I don't care if they drafted Dan Marino's kid. All right, listen, they have a franchise quarterback. It looks to me he's won 13 games. What are you doing with J.J. McCarthy? Who knows what he can be? You know, that's a crapshoot. Being a quarterback in the NFL, we see so many busts.
Right.
And he might be good, but he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like Jaden Daniels in college. They
right.
He didn't even throw the ball against Penn State later in the year. They won it not once in the second half. He wasn't a gunslinger. He had a great drive against Alabama to win the national championship. Well, actually, it was a semifinal game. But, I mean, I don't know how he's going to be, but you have your guy in front of you. If you believe it's Daniels, at least in this system, forget about if he can play in anybody else's system. Kevin O'Connell, if he can play in this system and plays like he did this year, pay the man.
Yep.
Pay the man.
I agree.
This isn't a Daniel Jones thing. Pay the man.
No, I agree. Re-sign him. J.J. McCarthy, I thought, was massively overdrafted anyways.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, only the Vikings.
You know what I'm hearing today? Right before we, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but right before we came on,
yeah,
I tape a lot of the shows and I watch them after work. I can't remember who it was, but he said, listen, I'm just repeating what I'm hearing today from some scouts that J.J. McCarthy, if the whoever the scouts were on these specific teams had had the opportunity to draft, they would take J.J. McCarthy over Cam Ward and over Deion's kid. What? Okay, fine. Well, that's why you won't be a GM too long.
Yeah.
Because who knows? But I've seen, you know, Cam Ward had, you know, almost 40 touchdowns this year, and I think Sanders' kid is an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I just don't know about J.J. McCarthy. I just don't know. I didn't see enough of him, you know, doing the things I need to see out of a college kid to be drafted. Like you said, I think he was really overdrafted.
Yeah, he was a game manager. I mean, that was, you know, nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, you're right.
And so, yeah, so exactly. It just really, him moving up the boards was a classic silly season thing to me. There's just players you see moving up the boards and you shake your head and you say it's silly season. And that was one of those things I thought at that point in time when people start overthinking.
These guys get paid a lot of money to evaluate this stuff.
Yeah.
How do they get drawn into the same knucklehead stuff that you see some of the fans are clamoring
yeah.
for. I just don't get it.
It's off-season mirage stuff. And ultimately,
it's like a Santa Claus rally. Yeah,
well,
it's unbelievable.
And, you know, and from what I'm seeing of the headlines on the news here, this will be a Super Bowl that we look back on and remember, because I think in the history books, from what I'm seeing in the news headlines here, this will be the last Super Bowl where we see a flag with 50 stars on it, because I think by this time next year, we're looking at, if I'm understanding this correctly, Greenland, Canada, and the Panama Canal as the new 53rd states joining our union. So it'll be the last time it's with just 50 of them, Joe. It's history in the making.
The canal becomes part of the union.
Exactly.
George Gothels will be rolling over in his grave, the guy who engineered the Panama Canal. The only reason I know that is I wrote a book report on him in like sixth grade, but
nice.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, it is the FDH Lounge where nothing's off topic. We always got to throw a few grenades like that in there, so... You know, but as we come up upon, after we do our football preview for this weekend's games here specifically, coming up after that, mini episode 1800 and thereafter, our 18th anniversary shows, which will be uploaded on the 14th, which is our anniversary. So not long after we first started out at the Sports Talk Network, you and Steve Callis have been a part of things here. You guys are two of the earliest dignitaries after the originals. So
always a pleasure. I really appreciate it, man. I love coming on, pal. Appreciate it, Rick.
Well, I feel very fortunate that we've been able to make friends with you guys over the years, get you guys on here. I feel very fortunate indeed, and people listening to this breakdown here will understand completely why. Thank you so much for making time for us, Joe, and certainly we appreciated it from Steve also earlier. And again, just awesome to get you guys on. We will do it again sometime soon here on the show. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1798.